today on The Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
I'm so excited because I get to host the return of Tech Talk with Adam Oldfield, brought to you by Vacuum Man Furnace and Duct Cleaning. And if you haven't heard him before, you will soon realize that Adam is an uninterruptible power supply in and of himself. What a week to bring him back. So much going on. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Shauna. It's so good to be here. So glad to join you and be back talking about technology. I mean, it's been so long. I feel like I've got so much that's been sort of building up. You know, I took a break from technology, you know, and I thought it was time for it just to like catch up. You know, we talked about it every week and I thought, well, maybe I've exhausted all things technology. So now I feel like there's enough to talk about, you know, there's enough going on in the world that it now deserves me to return and be able to join now yourself, but soon to be Bill Kelly. And listen, folks, I'm really excited. And I know I kind of sound like a Tesla battery that just got charged full steam. And you're going to absolutely love and be enticed by all the things you're about to learn about what's been going on over the last few months.
So is anything happening with Twitter these days?
Oh, that's an interesting conversation. Yes. You know, it's where do we begin? Twitter really is one of those, and I've been asked this many times based on the direction of what, you know, Elon Musk took over this. And if you haven't heard what's going on with Twitter, Elon Musk bought it. Then he ends up creating a kerfuffle. Then half the people are fired or they leave on their own. And now he's put an ultimatum on the table. We've heard now that the very minimal amount of people are wanting to sign on. And really, I've been saying this from the beginning, Shauna, is that Twitter purchase was yes to, you know, Elon Musk talked about freedom of speech and he talked about what the merits of what Twitter needed to do and how it was going to make a difference. And when he took it on, it needed to have a fresh and vigorous outlook of how it was going to work. The reality is, and this is a fact, Elon Musk, yes, he's got some employee issues, and this goes with any purchase of a business. When you come in with a new owner and a new direction, you're going to shake some trees. Some apples are going to fall. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. And it's going through, I would say, a very quick change, but it had 420 million people. He's been shaking different direction to what how it works with the little checkbox, and instead of $2, it's $8. And now we're seeing that Twitter has obviously, it still has some new growth pains to go through. But I can honestly say, again, back, he brought in a bunch of his Tesla engineers. Now, you got to really ask yourself, okay, why is he bringing in Tesla engineers? Oh, I know. That's because he bought a 2004 system that's been collecting data that is harboring all this information of billions of users, even though 400 million are members. It's been really tracking all of us, even though you're not even on Twitter. You may have never even signed up for Twitter, but it has integrated over the last 15 years with websites, tracking cookies of people, of buying habits, searching habits. All of this has been used by Twitter. That is what Elon Musk wants. That's what he's looking for, is a foundation of a system that has been integrated in the internet worldwide on how it's been able to collect. Why would he do that? Well, we have a SpaceX program. We have a Tesla program. That's why, folks. So don't look at it as he's helping freedom of speech. He's really against the left wing, the right wing, the politics. Nah, it's got nothing to do with any of it. It's a surface, but the iceberg goes deep under the ocean when it comes to Twitter. So let me just caveat this with a option. Say you're so sick of Twitter, you're just, I want to be a part of something, but I just can't get on that Twitterverse. Well, there is a new platform many users are leaping to, and it's called Mastodon. It is very similar to Twitter. It is a social media open source platform. Their whole merit is that we aren't going to use your information for advertising purposes. And it is growing quite significantly. So all you Twitter users, die hard. I can't live without tweeting. You have an option, and it is called Mastodon, and many, many Twitter users are moving into that universe. So you do have options other than Twitter.
And don't they call their messages toots?
Yeah. They call them toots. I mean, not gonna lie, kind of giggled at the old toot. But and it's got also, again, it sounds It sounds like it's a lot like Twitter, but they're working on microservers. So when you sign up, you got to pick a country you want to be tooting on instead of tweeting on. And when you're in that country, you then are working in a environment of localized communication. So I haven't been on, I don't think there's one set for Hamilton yet, but I believe Canada has been set up. There's a Toronto, Vancouver, major cities, but they set up these servers where someone's got to house the individuals that come on. The concern with this system that is gaining popularity is that, say, for instance, the local representative of a community or a city no longer wants to house that information. You don't lose your data. It doesn't get lost. It just gets shut down, and you then have to, you're lost in the cyberspace until you join another server. It's not perfected at all, Shona. So I wouldn't really, this isn't a recommendation to go forget Twitter, go to Mastodon and toot away. This is not necessarily an endorsement of this social media to join.
Yeah. And it's certainly not as big.
No, not at all. I think, they were claiming they have 200,000 users. They're so excited. Well, they only had like 100,000 before that. So we're still far from the hundreds of millions of users that are still on the Twitterverse.
Well, and, you know, when you were talking about the real reason why Elon Musk purchased Twitter, he really wanted all of the marketing data that goes along with it. I guess then, if you think about it, buying Twitter would be a lot less expensive than buying some of the other trackers like Google.
Oh, absolutely. He got it for a steal. I know there's a big joke about $44 billion. Wow, what a, that is crazy. He lost his shirt. The investors, what were they thinking? No. He harvested a great algorithm that has been perfected. I mean, Twitter wasn't making money. It wasn't necessarily the algorithm of earning revenue like we've seen with Facebook and with Google and with online ads. It was making money on revenue, and we saw that. And obviously, Elon Musk was hurt by the amount of how many advertisers dropped when they were obviously deciding whether this was something they wanted to continue. But it's really the intellectual property that what Twitter has. And why, again, we know that Elon Musk is involved in the e-commerce. And again, I'm not endorsing e-commerce, cryptocurrency of any sort. It's been up and down and it's all over the place right now. But it was another reason of which I know Elon Musk would definitely be taking interest in it. Elon Musk was the founder of PayPal. If anyone doesn't know what PayPal is, it is one of the first founding fathers of where we were integrating online payments. So he has a lot of understanding of payment online when it comes to this. Number two, I know that the Tesla vision of the company in the future is, it's not a car company. It has always been an innovation technology company. And that means it needs data. It needs human thought or information that it could integrate. So, and again, I'll preface this with, he could take a car with Twitter's information and be able to identify within the vehicle itself to be able to maximize human actions. So, for example, you get in your car, that you're in your vehicle, your phone's tracking when you leave, your phone tracking when you search for a pizza, and it's every Friday at this certain pizzeria. This information could be now incorporated within a Tesla. So you get your car, you tell Tesla, I want to go home. Tesla pulls out, automatically orders that Hawaiian pizza favorite with your crazy bread or extra sauces on the side. This is where I'm visioning what Elon is looking for. Then he adds a little payment caveat to it under the Twitter system that says your payment systems are preloaded. Would you accept the payment of whatever, $39.99 or now it's $70, whatever? Please place your hand on the screen for payment confirmation. That is where I see this moving forward with what Elon Musk has done.
So more of an integration of your smart car and your smartphone?
Yes, that's where the next evolution is going, correct. And that's where he's taking the data portion and incorporating it in Tesla. That's my prediction.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know about the big properties that he has, Twitter now, Tesla, and SpaceX. But he also has a number of other different ventures, one of which I thought was really, really fascinating. Moving on, as we said, Adam, I know one of the issues you wanted to get into was Samsung.
Well, you know, I speak from personal experience when it comes to this, Shona, and Bill and I have had the discussions for years over Apple versus Samsung, or Android for that matter. But I can speak from a specific experience. And I know right now with the holiday season coming up and we have the Black Friday sales that are rising, and you're going to see the innovation of a folding Samsung phone. Now, I love my tech, Shona, and I love to fold, baby. I love my folding phone, and it reminds me of just compacting everything in. However, less than a year, and I speak openly my experience, and again, I love Samsung. It is a powerhouse. However, they have not perfected the fold. And what I mean by that is it will split. It is mine split in less than a year. And I found out afterwards through a vigorous challenge why this was happening. And it is the fact of the equipment and the materials used for the folding phone they will split. It's plastic. And if you fold plastic 10,000 times, apparently is what I did, then it's going to fold over. So I just share with everyone to keep that in mind when you're looking at the product. It is a phenomenal product to buy. It is a powerhouse, productive. You will be so pleased within the first few months, but just be very cautious that if the warranty runs out and the screen is split, that is on you to repair. And it is an expensive venture to take on for 1 year's worth. So I spoke with Samsung about it actually, Shona, before the show, just to kind of talk with them about the concerns. And I said, listen, you know, like whether it was me or anyone that bought this, just curious, what is Samsung doing? You claim 200,000 folds were going to work with this and that it was capable. I assure you, I did not open and close my phone 10,000 times a day. I wouldn't be able to do anything else. But anyway, they did say to me, well, there is occasions on some of the products. When they said some, I found out afterwards, it's pretty much 90% of them. And so what I share with everyone is that these are not inexpensive products, even with a Black Friday sale, a honeycomb coupon, or whatever you use. I don't think the folding phone is ready for mass market and for the price tag they're asking. So just be cautious.
Okay, good advice going into gift buying season. One of the things that I definitely wanted to get in during this discussion is something that's really bugged me for a long time. That is how bad Canada's mobile and internet sector is. I mean, we are so far behind everybody else in the world.
Yes, and I have to state that, you know, we think we're advanced. We are, as a nation, adapting to the technology, Shona. Like many people out in Canada, across the country in Canada, are actually the most involved when we talk to business and personal use. But we have actually developed, in the world, by the way, this isn't Canada, scientists have actually developed an ability to send 1.8 petabits of information at one time. Now, 1.8 petabits is basically the entire internet in 1 second being transmitted. So that's amazing, right? That's fantastic. So, however, Canada didn't even make the top 15 fastest mobile internet providers in the world. And number one was Norway. Number two was the United Arab Emirates. And number three was China. And the fact that Canada continues to be adapting and incorporating the technology, we love it. We as a nation utilize the technology, yet we don't even crack the top 15 when it comes to high speed internet. Now that's an infrastructure thing. And remember, we only have three choices to truly help us get to that level. And this is one of the concerns, and I've spoke about this many times in the past, we need to diversify and offer a few more options on the plate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm so tired of getting the blue pinwheel of death.
Well, I talk at the speed of petabits. And I mean, like, even I feel like I'm doing dial-up half the time when I'm trying to send an email. I'm like, oh, come on, this needs to go through. Yes, I'm an advocate for obviously getting into, we're still migrating. 5G is still rolling out. And we got a big country. So let's be fair, across the nation. It's not a low-cost investment. However, we've seen how they used it in other countries, that they've integrated multiple different incorporated competitions, and they work with each other to be able to develop an ability. I mean, we've seen that. We thought we had four. Now the debate of whether they get bought up by Rogers is another question, but this is another limitation that I see Canada can roll in. We could talk about being fast, but the only thing moving quickly is my lips when it comes talking about internet.
That is true. You did mention China was number three, and that, I guess, kind of brings us to Huawei, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I sometimes get a little heat when I speak of Huawei, because if you haven't heard, Huawei has a very sore point when it comes to technology. It's been ostracized in the US. It's actually being limited in different countries across Europe. But I'm going to tell you, they still have some pretty amazing tech. Now, they might be stealing it from others, but it's pretty advanced when they take it and make it better. One of the things they came up with is a smart vision glass. Now, we've heard of virtual reality, and Apple, by the way, will be launching their new VR glasses in a couple months, which will be in a future episode we'll talk about. But Huawei has these smart vision glasses. They don't run off their own battery. They plug into your smart device, your phone or your computer. And what it does is it turns your monitor into a full operational eyeglass visual. So think of it as putting on a pair of glasses and eventually be turning your monitor into a unlimited size screen. Now, I haven't had the chance to obviously try these. I've only been able to research it and see what it's about, and otherwise, and I'm sure if I imported it, I'd have, you know, Canada Border Services wondering what I'm doing, and I'm sure the Chinese Republic would be wondering what I'm looking at on my screen. But it is a really cool device that you can actually put on, and again, no batteries. It's not like self-charged, Bluetooth connected or otherwise. It just plugs into your phone, plugs in to your computer, and it links and makes that screen limitless.
Now, you kind of joked about it, but that was one of the first thoughts I had. If you're taking some tech from Huawei and you're plugging it into your computer, what else is it doing?
Well, one thing's for certain. If you plug it into Twitter, Elon Musk is going to follow you. That's for sure.
That is for sure. Well, we're talking about tech, and I know you wanted to talk about bugs, but maybe not the bugs that we usually associate with tech.
No. This is a little cool thing. I like talking robotics and the advancement of what we've seen it with technology. A university in Japan, and I won't even attempt to say it, Shauna, because I'll badger it, but the university has developed a glove that interacts with your fingers. And what it does is it allows you, and I know this sounds kind of comical in a way, but to interact with insects, like to the size of even a flea. And what it does is it uses a soft micro fingers that allow you to touch and move and interact with these insects. Now, you might be thinking, well, why would you want to do that? What would be the premise of tickling a bug? Well, the main reason is that this gives scientists the opportunity to actually interact with how bacteria and viruses are impacting. So we look at malaria in mosquitoes, or how bed bugs can transfer any kind of viruses of any sort. This ability now lets scientists to be able to interact on a micro level, to be able to work with insects on any size. And it's really kind of neat. They put it over their fingers like gloves, and then through their Huawei glasses, they'll be able to see very up close, specifically all the minutia, like looking through a magnifying glass or a pair of a scope, whatever. You'll be able to work with the bugs to be able to see science purposes, to be able to understand how any kind of bacteria or virus is transmitted. So this is a good thing when we talk about when robots are created to interact with small bugs.
That's amazing. Adam, we got to run.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back, Shauna. I got so much more to say. I mean,
I'm sure you do, but yeah, we do have to run, though. Adam Oldfield in Tech Talk on 900 CHML in Hamilton, 980 CFL in London. It is brought to you by Vacuum and Furnace and Duct Cleaning.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.